Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
I like it. Got a party, baby. Fires left side. Got a man there. Stevie catch. Touchdown!
Really, we still got action.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Inside the 10. 5-yard line. Touchdown! C.J. Spiller!
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football. Right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO. Tonight joining Murph is Clark Judge from CBS Sports. Plus, hear part of the conference call involving head coach Doug Marrone and season ticket holders. That and your phone calls tonight on The John Murphy Show.
This place is pandemonium!
From One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Good Wednesday night to you. Welcome to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. I am John Murphy in the studio here at One Bills Drive, here for the next 2 hours, ready to talk about the Bills and the NFL, and looking forward to your contributions as well. We had a lot of interaction with Bills fans today, Bills season ticket holders, and we'll get into this as the night goes along. Spent an hour today on the phone with the Bills season ticket holders, part of their fan forum for Bills season ticket holders. The Bills made head coach Doug Marrone available for season ticket holders today. And from 12:30 to 1:30 this afternoon, we took phone calls from Bills fans about a variety of issues. You hear a lot of that tonight on the radio show. We'll talk more about that as the night goes along, but thoroughly enjoyable. We got to get the coach to come on the radio with us and do it in this format as well. Thoroughly enjoyable, though, and boy, the fans welcome the coach with open arms. We had one guy call up, did not want to go on the air, but wanted to invite Coach Marrone to his house for Italian dinner. And Coach says he might do it, as a matter of fact. But that was one of the highlights. Really a good time from 12:30 to 1:30 today, talking with Bills fans and season ticket holders in particular who got the special invitation to be a part of that fan forum conference call with head coach Doug Marrone. We'll hear highlights of that as the night goes along. Clark Judge is going to join us tonight. This guy's been around the NFL for 30-plus years, covering the San Diego Chargers and the Baltimore Colts way back when. He has written the last several years for CBSSports.com, and he is a veteran NFL writer, a Hall of Fame elector. I think he has a soft spot in his heart for the Buffalo Bills because he always makes his way up to Pittsburgh every summer to watch the Bills in training camp. Clark Judge going to join us tonight at 8 o'clock to talk about the Bills draft and his thoughts on E.J. Manuel. He's written a couple of interesting items about E.J. Manuel in the last couple of weeks. So that is coming up tonight on the show. And we want your input as well. Here's what I'm thinking. It is Wednesday, May 8th. May 8th. 4 months from today. You know what 4 months from today is? Think about it for a second. 4 months from today. Sunday, September 8th, Bills-Patriots season opener. 4 months away. Not that long ago, or not that long to wait, as a matter of fact. I mean, go back 4 months from today, and it was right around the time, January 8th, when the Bills introduced Doug Marrone as the new head coach of the team. And a lot, look at what's happened in the last 4 months, and think about what we're waiting for now the next 4 months with OTAs coming up, the rookie minicamp this week, OTAs for a couple of weeks, the mandatory minicamp for the veterans in mid-June, and then a couple of weeks off, and then, of course, training camp in late July, all leading up to Sunday, September 8th, 4 months from today. The Bills, we're just talking to Bulldog and Mike Shope about this. Their roster is probably not completely set, but for the most part, it probably is. And here's the question I'd like to put out there for Bills fans tonight, looking at the fact that we are 4 months away from the opener, Sunday, September 8th, 4 months from today, the Bills and the Patriots. Who's going to line up and start that game for the Bills at the following positions, in your mind? Left guard. Wide receiver. I need two wide receiver names, Stevie, I would assume, plus someone else. And finally, of course, quarterback. Your best guess, make a case for those you think should be in there. Difficult questions. You're going to have to think. You may want to even go online and look at a Buffalo roster, especially when it comes to the receiving or for the guard or receiver. But in your best guess and why you think it would be those four players. Who is going to line up and start for the Bills in that season opener 4 months from today on Sunday, September 8th? Who's going to line up and start at left guard? Who's going to line up and start at wide receiver? And who's going to line up and start at quarterback? If you have thoughts on that, ring us up. 803-0550 is the number to call. Toll free, the number is 1-888-550-2550. You can always follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show and tweet in your names there, your thoughts there. But let us know who you think. 4 months from today, when the Bills line up and kick off the season against the Patriots, 1 o'clock kickoff here at Ralph Wilson Stadium, who's going to be the starter at left guard? Who's going to be the starter at wide receiver? And who's going to be the starter at quarterback? Left guard? That's a tough one, but right now, at this point, I'm going to go with Sam Young. I want to see more of Sam Young in the OTAs that start next week and certainly in the mini camp in mid-June and then, of course, training camp. But I just think that there's and actually Marone mentioned his name right off the bat today when he was asked about left guard. You'll hear that cut coming up later on. But I do think Sam Young, the former Notre Damer, is going to be your starting left guard on opening day. That's just a hunch. They don't really have a depth chart out there issued. So I'm not quite sure who the coaching staff think is going to be their starting left guard. Wide receiver, Stevie, obviously one of them. Who'd be the other one? I think that's fairly easy. I think it's Robert Woods and Stevie as the two starting wide receivers on opening day. And finally, the quarterback. That's a tough one, too, I think. I mean, there's arguments to be made to start Kevin Cobb, the veteran, who just last year was the starting quarterback for Arizona when they won at New England. And there are arguments to be made for starting E.J. Manuel, provided that things go smoothly during training camp and that he picks up enough of the offense so that he's effective on opening day and that he won't be rattled in his first NFL start by what Bill Belichick throws at him. I'm thinking today, 4 months away, I'm thinking that Kevin Cobb would be my starter against the Patriots, but I certainly could be convinced to go the other way. Maybe you do think the other way. Maybe you think throw Manuel in, let him get going. Let's get this party started. Let's see if this kid can play. And what better way to start it than starting the rookie against the Patriots on opening day? But those would be my thoughts. I think 4 months from today, when the Bills line up and start the season against the Patriots, I think it'll be Sam Young at left guard. I think it'll be Stevie Johnson at wide receiver, along with Robert Woods, and I think it'll be Kevin Cobb at quarterback. What do you think? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number to call. The line's open right now. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can always follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Who's going to be starting at those critical positions 4 months from today on opening day? Left guard, wide receiver, Stevie plus somebody else, I would think would be your answer, and quarterback. Cobb, Tarveris Jackson, E.J. Manuel. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's get to what's going on out here today. And I do think that the session, the fan forum with Doug Marone, was the biggest thing that happened here today. The coach sat down right here in the studio, and we linked him up with Bills season ticket holders who got the notification to call a little bit earlier this week. And, boy, I think we went through dozens of calls today, more than 1,000 respondents, and a lot of variety in the calls. We started things off by getting Coach Marone's thoughts on this weekend. The rookies arrive here tomorrow night. They are on the field Friday for the rookie minicamp. The rookie drafted players and the undrafted free agents will be here. We talked to Coach Marone about what's going to go on this weekend and what he hopes to accomplish when the rookies come to town this week.
It's our first chance as coaches to really get to work with them. And really, we just want to go in and make sure, you know, one, they understand, you know, what it means to be in this league, you know, and what it is to be an NFL player. And then more importantly, you know, again, what it's like, what it takes to be a Bill, you know, and how to handle themselves, conduct themselves, not only just on the field, but off the field and in the community. So, you know, it gives us a chance to get to know them a little bit more and get a feel for them. And the camp's going to be run a little bit differently than places I've been in the past because, you know, we're going to get them out there on the field and we're going to work and we're going to find out what their skill level is. And, you know, obviously develop them and make sure that they're familiar in our system of offense, defense, and special teams. And, but not really get them combative against one another to see, you know, we're looking to transition them well into our team, which we start OTAs the following Monday.
So, and again, my feeling is, and what I've heard is that's what it's going to be, mostly drill work for the rookies, mostly getting them accustomed to how this team wants to practice and what the meeting room situation will be, what the meetings will be like, as opposed to football scrimmages. I'd be surprised when these rookies are here this weekend, if we see much that looks like football plays, but mostly drills, mostly getting them accustomed to what is expected of them, as Coach Marone said. And we'll see. We'll have a chance to watch that rookie minicamp coming up this Friday when they hit the field. A variety of topics touched upon with Coach Marone and his fan forum and his phone call with season ticket holders today. He was asked about his assistant coaching experience in New Orleans. Obviously, he was the offensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints for a couple of years before he went to Syracuse. He was asked how that is translates what they did at the Saints, changing the culture there from a losing culture to eventually winning the Super Bowl, how that translates to trying to do the exact same thing here with the Buffalo Bills.
We have a chance, and this is how I'm going to compare the two experiences. We have a chance to, when people wake up on Monday morning, to wear their Buffalo Bills gear and be darn proud. And because of the product that we're putting on the field and the way we're playing the game of football. And it's a game of football that's going to be representative of a lot of what we believe in Western New York, in this region. You know, it's just a lot of hard work, not a lot of complaining. You just go and get the job done, and we don't make excuses.
Doug Marrone talking with the fans today in a conference call held right here at One Bills Drive. Season ticket holders invited to participate. Coach got fired up today. A couple of times when people asked him about that. Just, you know, what do you plan on doing to change the culture of the 13-year drought without a playoff spot? What's the plan? How do you turn things around? He got fired up about that a lot. He was also asked today how he plans on getting these Bills players to buy into his program.
We have the ability to affect a region by putting a productive winning football team out there. And that's our higher calling. And if you're not buying into that, then you don't need to be here. You can go play for some other team. But we don't want those type of players on our football team.
See what I mean? The coach got all fired up today. He talked about, changing the culture. He talked a lot about, buying into the program and the higher calling, I thought was an interesting theme. And we'll hear some more excerpts from Coach Marrone coming up later this hour. But he kept talking about how he has preached to his players they have a higher calling. And I got the sense from talking to him about it during the conference call today, he thinks there's more at stake here than just, you know, winning a couple of football games, ending a playoff drought. He talked about a higher calling, responding to this loyal fan base, which has remained so loyal over the years, even during the 13-year playoff drought. Some pretty fascinating stuff from Doug Marrone, and I know a lot of the people, we got some good feedback from the season ticket holders who were on the conference call. They absolutely loved what they heard from the coach when he talked about that, the higher calling, and what he's telling these players about their obligation. And right at the end, you heard him say right at the end, if you're not buying into that, don't play here, play somewhere else. We'll talk more and hear more from Doug Marrone a little bit later on this hour. Some of the news from around the NFL today, Rob Gronkowski. We just talked about him the other night. We were talking about the all-time great players, pro football players that come out of Western New York. He was on the list, very high on the list for many people. He continues to have a problem, apparently, with that left forearm injury. According to the Boston Herald, Gronkowski is going to need a fourth operation on his left forearm. They have to change the plate, the metal plate that's securing the broken bone in his forearm. There have been some suggestion recently that that might not have to happen, but the source told the Boston Herald that it does have to happen. The plate has to be switched, and the surrounding tissue has to heal. And the question now is Rob Gronkowski going to need a fifth operation? If tests show that there's an infection there, they'll replace the plate, and they won't worry about that. But if there are signs of infection, that won't happen, and they're probably going to have to do more surgery. I mean, it's not threatening this season yet, but this has gone on since last December for Rob Gronkowski. It certainly is worth watching. They're talking about a fourth surgery for his left forearm and maybe a fifth if there is infection there. That bears watching. Free agent linebacker Carlos Dansby was in town with the Bills a couple of weeks ago. Today, reportedly visiting the Arizona Cardinals, his team that he played with. He had visited the Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals. Dansby looking for a multi-year contract. It's not known if the Cardinals are ready to do that. They might be looking for some insurance in case their linebacker Washington, who was involved in a scrape with the law last week, is not able to play. Dansby also may demand some playing time. He started 91 of his last 92 games over the last six seasons. The Cardinals looking more for a stopgap, so who knows if that's a good fit. Carlos Dansby spent the first 6 years of his career there in Arizona, then went to the Miami Dolphins the last couple of years, as we said, visited the Bills a couple of weeks ago, left here without a contract, and Buddy Nix indicated after he left, after the draft, that it didn't appear that there was a need for him here, but we'll see. I don't think they've closed the door on him or anyone else. Big NFL news from Tampa Bay, where Rondé Barber, who spent much of his career in the shadow of his more famous brother, Tiki Barber, has decided to retire. Rondé Barber, 16-year NFL career, 5 Pro Bowls, 3-time first-team All-Pro performer as a defensive back for the Tampa Bay Bucs. The Bucs were ready to re-sign him, but they also signed safety Deshaun Goldson and drafted Mark Barron a year ago. So there may not have been much of a role for Rondae Barber to play in Tampa Bay. He will be remembered over his 16 years for toughness, versatility, and durability. He holds the record for most consecutive starts by a defensive back at 215, the only cornerback to record at least 20 sacks and pick off 20 passes in his career. Rondae Barber, maybe Hall of Fame consideration for the Tampa Bay Bucks defensive back. He announced today that he is retiring, leaving the NFL. And an NFL note from San Francisco, where the 49ers announced that they have a proposal for naming rights to their new stadium, their new $1.2 billion football stadium. The Niners going to open that stadium in the 2014 season. And the 49ers announced today that jeans manufacturer Levi's has a plan for the naming rights. The facility would be called Levi's Stadium, pending approval by the City Stadium Authority. A deal worth $220 million over 20 years and an option to extend it to 25. $11 million per year, ranking only behind MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, the home of the Giants and the Jets. Levi's Stadium, that would be the name of the new San Francisco 49ers stadium, provided everything goes as planned there. All that's left now is to come up with the unofficial stadium nickname. Some people talking about the Big Buttonfly. Some people talking about Field of Jeans. insert your own joke there. Levi's Stadium for the San Francisco 49ers. All right, we talked a little bit about what's happening 4 months from today. The season opens for the Bills. And we'd like to know from you, who is your best guess to start at left guard for the Bills in that game 4 months from today? Who do you think is going to start at wide receiver for the Bills in that game? And who do you think is going to be under center at quarterback? If you have thoughts on that, 803-0550, the number, toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. A tweet from Sal Alessi 2 who says, guard will be Colin Brown. Stevie Johnson and Robert Woods at wide receiver. We will use three wides. That's likely to happen, yes. And quarterback will be EJ Manuel. Okay, all of those, I think, viable. Let's go to Ray in Buffalo. Ray, good evening. You're on the show.
Thanks for having me, Murph.
Sure.
I tell you, I like the way Doug Marrone, I've been said it before, you know, that I had a good feeling ever since Thurman Thomas did that tweet, and we ain't know. I just had a good feeling about this season, and I'm glad he pushing them like that because we do have a good history here in Buffalo. You know, I don't want you to come here and think just, oh, it's Buffalo just to collect a paycheck. No, run. You're going to run. And if you know, just like Marrone said, if we feel you ain't up to par or whatever, then you could go somewhere else. We trying to keep our tradition of winning here. And I like that. But as far as the starters go, I would say Woods and Sam, well, the one, the offensive lineman, Sam Young. I forgot about Colin Brown, but either those two. But as far as the quarterback situation, I mean, whoever does win the job, because I think it will be huge for the Marrone era and the Bills era to come out with that first win against New England. I have total confidence whoever they do put in will come out with a win that first game, and I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks very much for your call, Ray. And a couple of things there. Yeah, the coach on trying to create the tone here, trying to set a tone. If you heard last night's show, Doran Dickerson was in here talking about how much they've been running. I mean, he said he has never run this much before in his NFL career, and this is just in the off-season conditioning program that started here 5 weeks ago. And I think that's part of what they're trying to do here, getting people in condition to run a fast-paced offense. We'll hear what Marrone says about that momentarily, and to get people ready to just be in condition and to work them hard. And I think they're in the process of finding out during these off-season conditioning workouts who wants to work hard, who wants to be here. That's what Marrone, I think, was talking about in the soundbite we played a moment ago. You know, we're going to find out if you're willing to be here and go the extra mile and put in the kind of work that they're going to ask of them. So very interesting stuff from Marrone. We're going to hear a lot more of it. We'll take a break and come back and hear more from Doug Marrone. This all comes from today's conference call, the Fan Forum for Buffalo Bills season ticket holders. I was able to moderate that with Doug Marrone and put dozens of phone calls that we were able to take in the 1 hour. We'll hear some of his answers and talk about some of the Bills' issues, and you'll be welcome to weigh in as well. We'll keep the phone lines open. 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. As always, follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Take a break and come back. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO on a Wednesday night. And we're going to get to the Doug Marrone conference call today, the fan forum with season ticket holders. We put this question out on the table, though, with the season opening 4 months away, 4 months from today. Believe that? It is Sunday, September 8th, 4 months from today. The Bills season begins with that home game, 1 o'clock kickoff against New England. And at this point, we put it out there for the fans, the listeners. Who do you think is going to be the starter at a couple of key positions? Left guard, where Andy LaVitre used to start. Wide receiver, Stevie Johnson and who? And quarterback, Cobb, Manuel, Tavares Jackson. The phone line's open if you'd like to weigh in on that. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A couple of tweets. Fantastic 81 says, I think the quarterback will be Cobb, the offensive guard Colin Brown, and the wide receiver Stevie, Robert Woods, and TJ Graham. So they're going with three. Now, I deliberately limited it to two, although I know that they could definitely start with three, just to keep it a little simpler. Because I don't quite know, you know, how it's going to play out with TJ or Marquise Goodwin or is Woods the regular third wideout. Is TJ the regular third wideout and Goodwin, you know, a situational guy or vice versa? I don't know. Here's a tweet from Boofy Magic who says David Snow will be the starting left guard on opening day. Huh. Robert Woods would be the wide receiver opposite Stevie, and Kevin Cobb would be the quarterback. A couple of people think E.J. Manuel. A couple of people think Cobb. It's worth thinking about anyway. I mean, these are the kind of things that we think about as we await the start of the season, 4 months away. Give us a call if you got thoughts on that here, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Well, we talked about it. Doug Marrone with that fan forum today. He spent an hour taking questions, dozens of them, from Bills season ticket holders who were invited to participate. We had a good time in the 12:30 to 1:30 hour today talking about a variety of topics. The rookies coming into town tomorrow night. They'll be on the field here at One Bills Drive tomorrow, or Friday, rather, for the three-day rookie minicamp Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That includes draft picks. That also includes the undrafted free agents. One of the undrafted free agents that got a lot of notoriety was Derrick Rogers from Tennessee Tech. He's the one who was at Tennessee and was having a great productive year on the field at Tennessee and just got in trouble with repeated violations of substance abuse policies, eventually washed out of the University of Tennessee, finished his last year at Tennessee Tech, was not all that productive at Tennessee Tech in his last year, but he has a world of potential if he stays out of trouble. At any rate, Doug Marrone in the season ticket fan forum today was asked about Derrick Rogers and what he might be able to provide this Buffalo Bills offense.
Derrick Rogers, you know, from what I've watched him on tape, is someone who's obviously extremely talented, extremely smart, has not always made great decisions when he was younger. But, you know, recently now he's made good decisions. I think when he transferred out of Tennessee, played a little bit to the level of competition, which is a concern. And, you know, needs to come in here and really impress people early on. And I think he has that ability. So he, along with the other free agents, and I think all the players, we get them tomorrow. And that's the one thing I'm going to tell them is that, you know, when you get in here, you have to, you know, you have to make it. First impressions are important. You know, if you come in here out of shape or out of weight, that's not a good situation. You're not going to be here too long. But if you can come in here and impress the coaches, impress the scouts, myself, Coach Nix, everyone around the organization, you know, you'll have an opportunity to make this team.
With what happened to Derrick Rogers, with the run-ins he had, the fact that he left Tennessee, the fact that he didn't get drafted, had to sign as a free agent, we talked to Buddy Nix about this last week. That has to get his attention, right, as far as now's the time to step up and fly right if he wants to make a career out of football.
Well, you know, a couple teams, you know, nowadays, Murph, with the social media and everything's out there, yeah. You know, and coming from college, I used to tell the kids all the time, and it's the same with myself, you know, you don't want to do anything now because it's going to be out there forever. And I don't want to ever say anything or do anything that my children, when they grow up, have to defend what their dad has done in the wrong way. So it is a lot of stories out there now, and I think people have to be very careful of what they do. But, you know, when you get to a point like Derrick Rogers, for example, and I've had players like this before that have become very good players in this league, there's an understanding, and it's a one-shot deal. I mean, either you've learned your lesson and you've grown up and you're going to go forward and mature, or if you haven't learned your lesson, you're going to be out on the street. I mean, it's that simple. So I think if the players are smart enough to realize that, they have an opportunity, and I believe that Derrick Rogers is smart enough to understand that.
Well, it's going to be fascinating when you hear Doug Marrone talk about Derrick Rogers. Buddy Nix basically said the same thing on our show last week. A guy with a world of potential, a world of talent, really up there with Cordarrelle Patterson and Justin Hunter in terms of his ability to play the game, but just couldn't get out of his own way, couldn't stay out of trouble, had to transfer to Tennessee Tech, and then, as both Marone and Buddy have said in the last week, kind of played down to the level of competition there in his final year there in college football. Well, here comes his second chance. And as Marone just said, you know, it's a one-shot thing. Did that resonate with anybody else? It did with me. It's a one-shot thing. And I interpret that as soon as Derrick Rogers, if he elects to step out of bounds again and get in trouble, whether it's with substance abuse or trouble with the law, that's it, because they don't really have anything invested in him. They have the standard rookie free agent contract with them, undrafted free agent. I'm sure it's not for a great amount of money, and they have no draft pick invested in him. They really have nothing invested in him. It wouldn't be hard to pull the plug if he steps out of line. So I like the way the Bills are approaching this. If the guy is ready to play football and can put all of that in his past, I think the Bills could have potentially a really great signing in Derrick Rogers. We get to see him on the field this Friday. Going to be very interesting. We've talked a lot with Vans over the last few weeks about the offensive line situation. The Bills did not draft an offensive lineman in the draft. Of course, Andy Levitre is gone. Many people view that left guard spot as a major hole in the Buffalo offensive line. Well, that issue came up today in Doug Marone's fan forum, the season ticket conference call today. Marone talks about his plans for the offensive line moving forward without Andy Levitre.
I think we have some good young talent there. I really do. Guys that really haven't played quite a bit. And being able to look at them, and actually I've actually been out there, Ryan, working with them. So I, you know, Coach Morris lets me get in there, and I'm his assistant, and working with those guys. So I'm happy with the way that they've been working. I think it's going to be interesting once the pads come on to see them. I think, you know, they're losing some weight. Their foot speed's picking up. They're working extremely hard. I think, you know, Sam Young has done a nice job in our camp there right now. I'm happy with him. Chris Scott, I'd like to see him. I think he's done some good things. Colin Brown, you know, has been out there. So I think we have some flexibility, you know, in those positions. And I think it's one of those things. I think, you know, that position, more than any other position, I mean, they all have to work well together. And if they work well together, it'll be very productive. If you have you're only as strong as your weakest link when it comes down to line play. I really like, you know, Eric Wood in the center. I think, you know, I've seen him improve. He's healthy now. He looks great out there. Cordy Glenn has done a nice job. Eric Paris is coming back. He's getting healthy for OTA. So, you know, Urbick has done a nice job. I think we're going to get a lot out of him. I think we can get more out of him. And I think we can get more out of that group. And you probably hit a soft spot for me because I'm an ex-O-line guy myself. So I'm really looking for a lot from that group.
Not only do you work with the offensive linemen, I actually, in the veteran minicamp a few weeks ago, you were throwing back shotgun snaps in some of the individual drills, right?
Yeah, one of the things, you know, one of the reasons why I wasn't able to stay a long time in this league is because I could play all five positions. Uh-huh. So I was kind of one of those jack-of-all-trades, master of none. But it always has given me a good insight to see. I think it's important as a coach, and when you can go out and tell a player, "Hey, you know what? This is difficult, and this is what we have to do to get it done. Hey, this isn't as difficult, and we should get this done." I think the player appreciates it when a coach recognizes that, you know, this is a little bit tough. Whereas sometimes you can go in there and coach and say, "Get this done, get this done, get this done. It's your job, it's your job, it's your job." And the player's like, "Hey, you know, give me a little credit here. This is a little bit tougher than this." So yeah. I think players appreciate that, and that's the way I've always talked to players.
That's Doug Marone talking about the offensive line. And you know, you kind of listen a little bit, if you are listening to what he said, you get a sense of what they're thinking when it comes to filling the hole created by the departure of Andy Levitre. And a couple of interesting things I thought. He mentioned Sam Young, who's been around the Bills now for a couple of years, a waiver claim back in early September of 2011. Originally the Cowboys' sixth-round pick. Last year, Sam Young started four games for the Bills at tackle. And when they had the veteran minicamp here a couple of weeks ago, he had moved over there and was playing inside at guard. And I think, you know, the first name that Marone mentioned, Sam Young, is a guy who is a viable candidate for the Andy Levitre left guard spot. The other name he mentioned, which just got by me until I heard it again, Chris Scott, another waiver pickup. He came from the Tennessee Titans practice squad last December. He was a fifth-round pick of the Steelers in 2010, played a couple of games with them in 2011, and bounced around practice squads last year, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and Tennessee, and then wound up with the Bills. Chris Scott, 6'4", 320 pounds, maybe a candidate for that guard spot as well. So, and you think, well, who are these guys? You know, trying to replace Andy Levitre. Who are they? They're the kind of guys like Craig Erbick. You know, another team drafted Craig Erbick, obviously, and he came here and played and has played pretty effectively. Chad Reinhart, who left. You know, a guy claimed, you know, off the waiver wire, another team's draft pick. So that's kind of what they're looking at guard, I think, this Buffalo Bills team. Those names, Colin Brown's names, the one that first mentioned by Doug Marone in the conversation with season ticket holders today. C.J. Spiller versus Fred Jackson came up today in the conference call, as you might expect. And one of the callers asked the head coach how he plans on using C.J. Spiller this coming year.
You always have to have a way to calm the quarterback down, you know. And the best way to calm a quarterback down is to hand that ball off. And you're exactly right. I mean, when you look at the average per carry of C.J. Spiller last year, it's unbelievable. And it's exciting. And that's why I think that you saw us, Tom, go with a lot of speed because, you know, CJ's fast. You know, the receivers are fast. We're getting fast tight ends. You know, we got quarterbacks. All three of our quarterbacks can run and trying to put as much speed on that field. And if we can spread people out and CJ, you know, we get him the ball or Fred the ball or Choice the ball, you know, it's going to open up a lot of things for us. So we're excited about that. And, you know, there's other different ways that we've been, you know, looking at a way to use them, you know, not just basically right from the eye position out of the backfield.
Going to be very interesting to see how Marone and Nathaniel Hackett and the Bills use C.J. Spiller this year. We didn't have the cut. We didn't play the cut for you, but at one point during the conference call today, Marone really went to great lengths to praise how much of a weapon C.J. Spiller is with his speed and with his dynamic playmaking ability. So I think we're going to see a heavy dose of C.J. Spiller in the Buffalo offense this year. There's a lot more to hear from head coach Doug Marone, and we're going to continue to play that throughout the night here on the show. We started out by talking to fans about what they wanted to see at left guard when the season opens in 4 months. So who they expected to start there, who they expected to start at receiver, who they expected to start at quarterback. Get back to that conversation when we return. We've got a couple of tweets to read you, and the phone line's open if you have thoughts on that. Who do you think will be starting on opening day, September 8th, 4 months from today, at left guard, at receiver, and at quarterback? 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. This is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We've been playing cuts of Doug Marone's fan forum with Bills season ticket holders tonight. We'll do more of that. We also want to hear from you. We're going to hear from Clark Judge, who covers the NFL for CBSSports.com, coming up after the top of the hour. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive. Also want to hear from fans as we approach the season opener. We are 4 months away today from the opening of the season, and we just kind of get a sense of where people think this roster is at. Who do you think is going to be the starting left guard for the Bills 4 months from today against the Patriots? Who do you think the starting wide receivers will be? And who do you think will start at quarterback? We open it up to phone calls, 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can also follow us via Twitter and send in your tweets. One tweet from Bills Fan Speak says, yeah, if Bills are lucky enough to have Cobb come here, best quarterback since Flutie, you start him and let E.J. Manuel learn. That's one way to do it. No question about that. Steve McKiper says, I guess it's a question for me, do you view E.J. Manuel's path the same as Kaepernick's? I don't know. I mean, Kaepernick waited a year and a half before he got a chance to jump in and start. Maybe Manuel gets a chance sooner than that. Maybe instead of Kaepernick, Manuel's more like Russell Wilson, who wins the job in preseason, you know, and is the starter on opening day. I don't think that's I wouldn't rule that out yet. Let us know what you think. Who's going to start for the Bills on opening day at left guard, at receiver, and at quarterback? 803-0550, the number to call. A call here from Zach in Buffalo. Hi, Zach.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Okay.
As far as quarterbacks go, I think I would not be surprised to see E.J. Manuel take the job, especially with the way Marone was talking earlier in his conference for the ticket holders. He seems like he's one of those guys who'd be more than willing to throw his rookie into the heat of the moment And like he said, he lets the running backs ease the pressure for him at times. Another thing, for receivers, I think it's probably the deepest receiver core had in quite some time. I expect, obviously, Stevie to be starting, and Robert Woods right across from him. And then I know Derek Rogers has a lot of proving to do, but that kid, honestly, he runs phenomenal routes. He's got great speed. He's strong. He's a definite potential starter, at least if he can prove himself. As far as T.J. Graham and Marquise Goodwin go, I still feel like those guys have some proving to do, with their size alone. But I think I would put Graham slightly ahead of Goodwin just because, Goodwin, he's more of a track guy than anything at this point. And he's still very raw, and he's got questionable hands at best.
Yeah, when you got to give TJ something for the year that he put in here and for the offseason that he's put in. You got to give him some credit for that. I think you're right about that, Zach. I don't know if I'm ready to agree to your assertion that it's a deep part of the team, the receiver spot, because there's a lot of untested players there at receiver. But I will tell you this, it's going to be one of the most exciting position battles to watch when it comes to the OTAs and the mini camp, and especially at training camp, to watch how they sort themselves out. Brad Smith, our guest on Monday night. How much playing time is he going to get at receiver? Goodwin and TJ, a couple of speed guys, how much playing time are they going to get? And do they use them outside or inside? Does Stevie make the move to the slot receiver like had been talked about at the end of last year, at least occasionally the slot receiver? Is, in fact, Robert Woods ready to step in and play right away at receiver? I think there are a lot of intriguing questions. There's talent, not experience, but talent for the Bills at wide receiver, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out when they get to especially training camp. Andy in Cheektowaga, welcome. You're on the air with us, Andy.
Hi, John. Good evening. How are you?
Good.
Listening to Doran Dickerson and moving him to wideout, I mean, multifunctional man, of course. Very nice man as well. How do you think that's going to affect with the receivers we have taken, TJ Emmanuel or Graham and Stevie Johnson? Who do you predict being a slot man? Going into what you were just speaking of, it will be an intriguing battle how they're going to line up. And just your thoughts. What you think as we look at it on paper.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I kind of addressed some of this a minute ago, but, yeah, and I left Doran Dickerson out of that equation, too, and that was an oversight because with his experience, and he has, I think, something to say, at least in terms of competition for the job, I think that's going to be the battle. There's going to be a lot to watch at camp. And camp's going to be great. I assume that they will not have the quarterback situation sorted out by the time they go to camp in late July. I assume that the wide receiver positions will be wide open other than Stevie by the time they go to camp in late July. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch those workouts, to watch those night practices when it's kind of a controlled scrimmage and see who's making the tough catches and see who's getting the reps. I really think it's going to be interesting and fun to watch this summer. And we look forward to that. It's just a couple of months away. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk with Clark Judge from CBSSports.com, who has some interesting things to say about the Bills draft and about E.J. Manuel as well. Clark Judge writes for CBSSports.com, and we'll talk with him at the top of the hour. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
Touchdown, B. Scott! Touchdown, Buffalo! A pick six for the Buffalo defense!
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
How did he do it? How did he do it?
I was sneaking in the door. Just sneaking in, had to part the door open, crawl underneath the crawl space.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO.
It's a grown dog game. Ain't no puppies out here. Ain't no puppies out here today.
The kick is blocked again. It is Marcel Darius, Big Daddy in the middle. Unbelievable.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, as we continue on. And joining us on the line right now, a man who's been an NFL reporter for the last 30 years for various platforms. Right now, he's the senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. Clark Judge joins us. Clark, good evening. Thanks for coming on the air with us tonight.
Hey, Murph, my pleasure. How are you?
Good. I'm glad we caught you on an off night for your beloved Montreal Canadiens. The Habs are in a little bit of trouble right now, aren't they?
It was a tough loss last night. I watched that. I may have watched every game, but that one last night was really tough. Don't ask me about it because I thought they outplayed them and I thought they should have won.
How did you become a Canadiens fan, Clark?
I've followed them for a long time. My dad was in the service, so he moved all over the country, and I love the fact that they were. I probably fell in love with their uniforms first, honestly, yeah. And then I love the French Canadian names, and I, of course, love the fact that they played such great hockey and they won for so many years. It was just it was a natural team to watch, and as I said, I just love the pace of the play up and down the ice, skating, passing. They were a fun team to watch. When I was
You're like my age. You probably fell in love with watching guys like Cornwallé and Guy Lafleur and all those great players they had, Jacques Lemaire, Laperriere. I mean, those were great Canadian teams in the 70s, weren't they?
Yvon Cornwallé was my favorite player, but yeah. I mean, there are guys like Ralph Backstrom, Guy Lapointe, guys like that, and I loved watching them play and watching the games in the Forum. Just seeing a game in the Forum to me was a special event, and I miss that. And we went up to see them last year at Bell Centre, and boy, they were awful that night, but it was a great experience to be there.
Let's talk some football with Clark Judge, the senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. And one of the things that got our attention, Clark, is you probably know this, but we were talking about it tonight on the show. 4 months from today, Sunday, September 8th, kickoff Sunday in the NFL. That seems like a long time out there, but we're kind of polling fans tonight on the show as to who they think will be starters at various positions. And you write recently that E.J. Manuel for the Bills should start immediately. Tell me why you think that he should be starting as soon as possible for the Buffalo Bills.
Well, you invested a lot of money. I mean, not a lot of money. You invested a future in this guy. And so you make him your first-round draft pick. And to me, when you do that, when you get a guy as your first-round draft pick and he's a quarterback, you're either starting him sometime during the first season or you're coming out of the gate starting him. And I looked at what's out there, and I got, okay, Kevin Cobb, Tavares Jackson, and E.J. Manuel. And you've got a new head coach who believes in him, obviously, because he drafted him. And so I put him in that competition with the other guys, and I said there's no reason to believe he can't start. I think he should start. I think he gets people excited and energized. I don't think Kevin Cobb does. I don't think Tavares Jackson does. I think with a new coach and a new quarterback, you get people coming in there going, let's see what we're about. I mean, it's a new system, a new offense. Let's see what we can do here. And I do think just talking to people who know something about this guy, worked him out, looked at him, studied him, they believe in terms of what Doug Marrone might be doing there, he could be the perfect fit for them. And so they just said, listen, what do you have to lose? And I guess that's my point. What do you have to lose? Let's give him a shot. Let's see what's going on. This isn't the New York Giants trying to roll out Eli Manning while Kurt Warner is holding the position. This is a different situation. This is a team that has to, you know, somehow find a way to get back to winning again. So why not try it with new cast of characters?
Clark, does it matter that the Bills open the season against the Patriots at home here in Orchard Park?
Well, sure it matters, but, I don't look at that as being a stumbling block. I don't look at that as an obstacle. To me, you know, when Indianapolis rolled out Peyton Manning, I realized, you know, he was the first pick of the draft, but they said, you get out there and you play, and it's the only way you're going to get experience to play. So if you lose some games, where are you? Well, that's where Buffalo's been the last, whatever, 8-9 years. I mean, losing ball games. So let's try something different here. Now, obviously, as I said, you know, I think you do it because he represents something new and fresh. But if he doesn't win the quarterback competition this summer, if he's woefully behind, you don't do it simply to say, listen, he's our first-round pick, so we're going to put him out there no matter what. No, I mean, he's got to be the guy they think he is. But I think they know something about him, certainly. They chose him for a reason. If he's as good as they think, if the competition's there, if he's with the other guys or even slightly behind, I'd roll him out there and let him play because that's how he's going to learn.
You wrote the article just last week about E.J. Manuel in position to flourish more than any other quarterback in the draft. And it sounds like, well, you did. You talked to an offensive coordinator in the league who had some thoughts on Manuel and why he might succeed here, huh?
Yeah, no, I did. I just said, hey, listen, let's go down these quarterbacks quickly. And he goes, Manuel, I love him there. I think this guy's got a chance to be something special. I think he's got a chance. And I said, what about long-term? He goes, well, it depends on that team. But I think he can actually elevate this ball club for numbers of reasons that I think explained there. He said he thinks he will run that offense better than most people that he could think of. And he said certainly the quarterbacks we looked at as rookies here and then guys who have a chance to start. But he's got some people around him, too. You know, Murph, I look at what they did in the draft. I love the fact that they got Woods in the second round. I thought that was a real important important addition for them. You know, and then they go get Goodwin, I think, what was it, the fourth round or so? And and so you've got a speed guy who can stretch the field at least. But you've now got some weapons to play with. I mean, we already know you got Steve Johnson. You've already, you know, you got the running backs. What are you going to do opposite Johnson? Well, I tell you, Robert Woods is a terrific receiver. He's productive. He doesn't have great speed, but he's a productive guy, reliable hands. I thought that was a great pick. And now you put in a rookie quarterback, he's got a chance. Got a chance to do something. So the problem you've got is you're playing a division with Tom Brady. You know, as long as Tom Brady's there, everyone else is playing for second. But you've got a chance now to move ahead because the Jets clearly are the fourth best team in this division. And now, you know, you've got to go after Miami, which seems to have loaded up. But I don't know. I mean, let's just see. I think Buffalo's got some talent. They've got a new regime in there. Let's see if they can put together and try to make a run.
I thought your offensive coordinator, when he talked about Manuel and the Bills, nailed it when he told you, Clark, Manuel will be successful only if the Bills retool the league's 22nd-ranked defense. And I've maintained for, you know, for the last 4 months that really last year's problems had a lot less to do with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Chan Gailey and how many touches C.J. Spiller got, and a lot more to do with just the defense being so porous and giving up so many yards game in and game out.
Murph, so did this guy. I mean, he believed in Fitzpatrick, too, but he said, listen, you know, you can't succeed there if you're going to be hemorrhaging the points and the third downs conversions as they were last year. And he said, you know, they had that four-man rush. It just didn't work out. They couldn't get to the quarterback. And I remember watching a game specifically against Tennessee where they came back late, and it was frustrating because they were a better team. The Bills were a better team, and if they lost that ball game because they couldn't pressure the pocket. So that's I think that's a key component here. And obviously, if you're the quarterback, you've got to move the chains, and you can't turn the ball over. Otherwise, the defense is going to be on the field a lot more. So I think those are key components as well. But as I said, I go back to, you know, a team that hasn't won for years, and they use a first-round pick on a quarterback. What else do you think he's going to do? To me, he's basically got to start.
Clark Judge, senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. And in the same article where you mentioned that E.J. Manuel has a chance to flourish here in Buffalo, you talk about Geno Smith, and the coordinator you talked to said he's got no chance, quote, no chance to succeed. Is that, you feel that way, Clark?
Yeah, I live in New York, and I do right now, for the short term at least, because, you know, forget about all the controversy surrounding this ball club, you know, Tebow, Sanchez, that sort of thing. Let's look at who the quarterback will be and what he's got to play with. And I don't care whether it's Sanchez. I don't care whether it's Geno Smith. I don't care whether it's Joe Namath, you know, Richard Todd, whoever they want to roll out there, Chad Pennington. They don't have a chance when you look at the playmakers because there aren't any. You go, Santonio Holmes, he's coming off a Liz Frank injury. Right? And then you got Stephen Hill. And he's raw and really he's a project. And running back, you got Chris Ivory, just picked up from the Saints. Jeez, I mean, who's going to – Dustin Keller, he's gone. I mean, you don't have any. Cumberland's your tight end. So what are you going to do to get the ball down the field? How are you going to put points on the board? And I don't know how they do that. You say, well, okay, do you have a suffocating defense? They lost over the half their defensive starters. This is a teardown project, John. This is a team that's completely starting out. They're rebuilding. And, you know, when you heard Woody Johnson say yesterday, fans have got to be patient, basically what he's saying is, hey, guys, we're rebuilding. Okay, we are going to stink this year. And I think everyone knows that. So the question is, long-term, what's going to happen here? And already there are questions about, you know, Geno Smith and, you know, how involved he was in some of the interviewing processes and that sort of thing. There's so much controversy here that I know that when I was talking to this guy, he just said, you know, I listened to some of these things about Geno Smith, and I just wonder, how can he handle that? He's going to the worst place in terms of trying to handle all that stuff because they're gonna roll him out there, and you know, people are going to start booing when he throws an interception. They're going to get on him. How can this guy handle that? Because he really doesn't have a lot of people to take that pressure off of him this year. I think that's going to be an ordeal. I mean, I think he starts, but, you know, Mark Sanchez, I thought, was much better prepared to handle it than Geno Smith. Plus, Mark Sanchez had more supporting actors. This guy doesn't.
Yeah. One more quarterback to ask you about from your article from just last week about quarterbacks, the rookie quarterbacks, and how they might do this year. Ryan Nassib, who your coordinator said is probably a career backup. When you read that, it certainly kind of puts in perspective, despite the surprise that many registered when the Bills chose Manuel and not Nassib, it certainly puts in perspective what real NFL people thought about Ryan Nassib versus E.J. Manuel, doesn't it?
Well, some of them. I mean, certainly some of them. That's not a prevailing opinion. It was the opinion of the guy that I talked to. It was right. also an opinion of a couple other guys that I talked to before the draft. In fact, one of whom said, I have him as a fifth-round talent. I'm not trying to knock the kid down. He was productive. He's a smart kid. He's tough. And he had a great career. When I asked somebody else before the draft, where do you see this guy going? He said, I could see him going in the third round, maybe the second. But he said, I think basically you're looking at a guy who's going to be a really good backup and somebody who can you can spot start. And I think, you know, when I talked to this guy last week, he reiterated that and said, you know, the physical abilities are limited. And I think, you know, if you're sitting behind somebody, he's probably a perfect backup that you can plug in there every so often. And I think the Giants probably look at him that way because he's been drafted by a team that's got a quarterback who hasn't missed a start. And behind him, you've got the number one pick of the 2002 draft. Well, I think you can afford to sit this guy and basically wait on him. But my question is, wait on him for what? I mean, I'm not sure why they picked him other than his value for the pick, but you've got Eli Manning there. I mean, he hasn't missed a start in his career. And as I said, I think with David Carr sitting behind him, could you win with David Carr? Probably not on a regular basis, but you can put him in there and maybe pick up one here or there. But I think that's a perfect setup. So where he fits in, I really don't know. And honestly, that pick sort of confounded me.
Hey, Clark, tell me, you know, we are at the point now, and the Bills rookies come in tomorrow. All over the league, the rookie camps are opening up this weekend. You wrote an item today on CBSSports.com that were about 10 rookies to check out this weekend, including the Bills' Robert Woods, who you talked about a moment ago. What excites you about Robert Woods?
Productive, and he's from a pro-style offense, polished receiver. He put up good numbers the last 2 years. I mean, big numbers the last 2 years at a big-time program. And that program took a step back last year. I think they were 7-5, but he continued to play very steadily. I know somebody who had a chance to get him in the first round, and he told me, listen, we're not going to take this guy. And this is a wide receivers coach. He said, I love him. He's the best. He thought he was the best wide receiver next to Tavon Austin. He said, I'd take this guy in a heartbeat, but we've got other issues, and so my voice won't be heard. But he said, I love this guy, and so do I. I mean, when I'd watch him, USC, I thought he makes catches. He's a good route runner. He's got reliable hands. The knock on, you know, speed, and you know, that's okay. I just think on the other side, there you've got somebody who's got a chance to be a load, honestly. And I look at some teams that passed him by. I'm not really sure why that happened. I thought when he landed with Buffalo at the, I think it was 41st pick, yep. Very smart move.
Clark, thanks very much. We look forward to that rookie camp. We look forward to seeing you make your trip up to Pittsburgh, I would think, this summer, right?
I wouldn't miss it, Murph.
We look forward to seeing you there. Good luck to the Canadians.
Thank you. Take care.
Clark Judge, the senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com, 30 years plus as an NFL reporter, talking about his view of the E.J. Manuel pick and the Bills draft overall. Speaking of E.J. Manuel, and we've been talking about this a lot tonight, the conference call that head coach Doug Marrone had with season ticket holders today, the fan forum. Doug Marrone answered a lot of questions. We want to play you some of his responses as the night goes along. It was some pretty good stuff and some very good questions from many of the season ticket holders who logged on and asked the question today, including the quarterback question, and we've been talking about this tonight. One season ticket holder, Frank, wanted to ask the coach, how is he going to parcel out the snaps in practice at the OTAs and at training camp this summer among the quarterbacks, Kevin Cobb, E.J. Manuel, Tavares Jackson, and Jeff Toole? How are they going to work out the practice time and the snaps for those quarterbacks as they go to camp this year?
There's going to be a lot of practice time. And Frank, we've discussed that as a staff to make sure that we can evaluate the quarterbacks coming in and making sure that there's a good opportunity. And at the end of the day, I really believe this. It's I had this question before. It's like when you go out and we've all maybe coached Little League or coached girls softball, whatever it may be, and you go out there and it's the 8-9-year-olds go and try out. You try out, they go take batting practice, they take fielding, they take that, and you sit around and all of a sudden, you're with a group of guys and you say, oh, boy, that kid's good. He's the best one out of them, or he's the best fielder out of them. And I try to put it, give a little insight of that's really how it is. When you go out there and you play a game of basketball and there's 10 guys on that court, you're able to say, oh, that's the best guy out there. Mm-hmm. Players know, coaches know, and I think that we have to do a good job of giving him the opportunities, giving everyone the reps to either A, win the job, or B, lose the job. in what they do, and we have to make sure that they're with the right people and working them around. So, you know, we spend a lot of time in making sure that that happens. And really, right now, there really isn't a front runner. It's just very competitive, and, you know, the rookies are coming in tomorrow, so we're excited to see where they're at.
You know, I got to say, out of all the things that Doug Marrone said today on the conference call on the fan forum with the season ticket holders, that one I found the most refreshing and intriguing. I mean, he basically boiled it down to its simplest terms. We've all been around here, you know, a while, those of us who've followed this team for years and seen, you know, the quarterback controversies, obviously Rob Johnson, Doug Flutie, and then, you know, Lossman or Kelly Holcomb is as much of a controversy that was, you know, and then Trent Edwards. And, you know, I mean, you just go, you know, Trent Edwards and who should play this weekend. And it just gets so boiled up into, and people get into such a frenzy, especially obviously with Rob Johnson and Doug Flutie. And when I hear Doug Marrone boil it down to those terms, it's pretty simple. You just watch and put your finger on the guy that you think's playing well. And it's, I think it's interesting that he thinks his obligation is just to provide playing time for these guys, opportunities with, you know, the right personnel groups to show what they have, to give an honest, so the coaches can get an honest appraisal of which quarterback should play. I mean, so many times, coaches here and everywhere, you know, it happens everywhere. There's, you know, uncertainty about the quarterback position where, you know, people get so guarded and they get so secretive, and it's such a major announcement. And, you know, even in the places where it succeeds, like San Francisco last year when Harbaugh went to Kaepernick last year, you know, over Alex Smith. I mean, it just gets to be such a huge story and just such an overblown deal. And Marrone sounded like he's going to handle it pretty simply and that he's going to provide opportunities for all of them to show what they have and practice and probably preseason games and then make the choice. Almost as if to say the quarterback will reveal himself. And at this point, and we know we're 4 months away from the opener, we don't know who that's going to be. I mean, you just heard Clark Judge talk about how, you know, they absolutely have to let E.J. Manuel play right off the bat, have to get him in. That was Clark Judge's opinion. And I hear that. We have a tweet from Great Body Hawaii. He says, the Bills must start Cobb and groom E.J. properly. He's an investment, not a get-rich-quick scheme. I hear that, too. I don't know. I mean, if I'm starting, if instead of 4 months, if it's 4 days and the Patriots are coming here in 4 days, I'm starting Kevin Cobb. But I am open-minded about this. I want to see how this plays out starting this weekend when the rookies arrive here, and including the OTAs and the training camp in late July and some preseason games. And it sounds like that's what Coach Doug Marrone's going to do as well. You know, let it play out. And make a simple, honest evaluation of who gives them the best chance to win when he has to make that evaluation. I hope that Coach Marrone sticks with that kind of common sense approach to deciding who his quarterback is. I hope that it kind of reveals itself pretty simply who that quarterback should be, that you know, there is a clear-cut winner, and it wouldn't be a major deal one way or the other. But that's all to play out. That's what's going to make this the remaining 4 months of this offseason so interesting and so intriguing. That and along with another bunch of ideas. All right, we're going to hear more from Doug Marrone when we return. He had a fan forum, a conference call with season ticket holders today. Got some more highlights to play from you, and we want to hear from you and your thoughts on all of these issues as well. You know, 4 months away from the start of the season. Do you have a starter yet at quarterback? Who would it be? How about the wide receivers? How about left guard? Who's your pick? 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us via Twitter at John Murphy Show. We'll take a break, come back with more, hear more from Doug Marrone, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Interesting discussion tonight about 4 months from today. 4 months from today, the Bills are going to open against the Patriots. We are just about dead right in the middle of the Bills offseason. Tomorrow night on the show, my broadcast partner, Mark Kelso, scheduled to join us. Mark is in Indianapolis this week for the NFL Head Injury Symposium. In particular, he is there among one of more than 50 former players participating in the USA Football Heads Up Football Ambassador Clinic. Mark's going to be one of those ambassadors. Who better to talk about head injuries and how to prevent them for youth players? The Ambassador Clinic going on at Lucas Oil Stadium today. We'll talk with Mark Kelso about that tomorrow. He's also well-versed on what's going on with the Buffalo Bills. The Heads Up Clinic, composed of five elements, designed to you know, keep players safe, basically, young players, youth football players. So that's why it's part of USA Football. We'll talk with Mark as to what that means. Hey, you may want to be aware of this, too. Tomorrow night, the NFL Network is releasing the top 100 players of 2013. The weekly series continues tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Players ranked 80 through 71 will be unveiled. There is a Buffalo Bill on that list. We'll let you figure out who it is. That's tomorrow night on the NFL Network. We're typically not in the business of directing traffic away from our radio show, but you may want to keep an eye on the NFL Network tomorrow to see which Buffalo Bill is on that list among the top 100 players in the league. And there's this note, too, and I know, you know, Bills fans, and I could tell from the conference call today how excited they are about the addition of E.J. Manuel to the Buffalo Bills roster. The E.J. Manuel jerseys have arrived at the Bills store. Believe it or not, they're there. Less than 2 weeks since he was drafted. E.J. Manuel jersey's in the Bills store. And the kid sizes arrive next week. You can stop by here, One Bills Drive, for an E.J. Manuel jersey, or you can purchase them online at the Bills store. Just go to shopthebills.com, www.shopthebills.com, and find your E.J. Manuel jersey. They're in the Bills store now and available online at shopthebills.com. Shop, S-H-O-P, shopthebills.com. One of the things we've talked a lot about tonight is, you know, what opening day will mean, what it will be like in the starting lineup. Tony in his car has some thoughts on opening day and what the Bills lineup might look like. Tony, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. This last time you and I spoke, it was before Doug Marrone was hired, so a lot of dust and a lot of things have changed since then.
Yeah.
And I feel very optimistic, more optimistic than I have in many, many years. I just think that, like, all the pieces, I think the team's going to be a lot better than everyone's going to give it credit for. You do have a, in his prime, outstanding running back that I think is going to be used, and whomever's going to play quarterback is going to have that luxury. And I think that they're going to give the Patriots a run for their money. And if they could get, and if they can get Carlos Dansby, that would be an awesome, awesome thing on defense. I think we sorely needed linebackers, and I think we're a guy like that away from really making that defense top to bottom sound. And I think, because I don't think this team was that far away last year. You know, it just a few bounces, we could have been in the playoffs. And I think if you get good play from whomever's playing quarterback, whether it's E.J. Manuel or Cobb or Tarvaris Jackson, if they protect the ball, I think the team could easily win 9-10 games this year.
All right, Tony, that'd be a lot of fun. Thanks for calling. I think the part that I most agree with what you said is not that far away defensively. I think a brand-new defensive scheme with some of the players returning is going to go a long way towards improvement on this Buffalo Bills team. They just, you know, they had the horses on defense last year. They had some deficiencies, obviously, at linebacker, but if you look up front, with the players that they had, they should have been much better defensively than they were a year ago. The key players are back from that defense. The key personnel is back. And now they have a brand-new coordinator with a brand-new plan to deploy those defensive players, that talent, with guys like Kyle Williams and Marcel Darius and Mario Williams and Jarris Byrd on the back end. I really look forward to seeing how that plays out. Doug Marrone talked to fans today at length on a fan forum conference call for season ticket holders. One of the questions that came up was one of my pet topics, the tempo of the offense. A problem last year, I thought, a problem the last couple of years, getting plays in, running plays at a fast clip, avoiding timeouts, avoiding delay of game penalties, keeping the defense back on its heels. Critically important, I think, to an offense. And that was one of the issues that came up for Coach Marrone today. One of the season ticket holders asked Coach Marrone about the importance of having a fast-paced offense.
Tempo is, you know, it's one of the things now you've seen some teams in the NFL using, obviously college football has used it. It's pretty much one of the first trends that you might see develop from college going to the NFL, where normally it's been from the NFL going to college. I think what you're trying to get done is, you know, statistically, it's the amount of possessions you have per game equal the amount of points you score. So when, you know, the tempo is not a gadget or whatever you may say, it's actually, you know, an opportunity to make sure that you get more possessions, and more possessions will equal more scores. So we will use that as much as possible. The thing that I want to make sure everyone understands is that we do have the ability to huddle. We do have the ability to slow the game down. you know, if we wanted to. You know, you get the lead at the end and you're in a four-minute type situation where, you know, you want to slow the game down, you know, we'll have the ability to do that. So we've practiced both right now, and, you know, we'll continue to practice both, you know, the tempos of being in the huddle, of a short huddle, because I'm a big believer in being able to change up the tempos of the game. But, you know, I like playing fast. I think you have a great advantage of that.
Very interesting stuff, playing fast, controlling the tempo, something that the Bills just have not done for the last several years. And I like the way he's thinking, too, about not just, you know, and as I pointed out, it keeps the defenders, the opposing defense on its heels. But, I mean, statistically, it's pretty obvious the more possessions you have on offense, the correlation there's correlation with the number of points you score. I mean, if you have more at-bats, chances are you're going to get more hits. If you have the ball more often, chances are you're going to score more points. I think that's a kind of an underrated aspect of the whole tempo question. I'm glad to hear that they are focused on it. If you watch practice, as we did a couple of weeks ago when the veterans were here at minicamp, it was pretty clear that they're running plays at a very fast tempo. In fact, that was the message that was sent over and over and over again to the players on the field, you know, in and out of the huddle. Let's go, let's go. Push the tempo. Very important. Question, a couple of Tony in his car a minute ago talked about the defense, the improvement to come defensively for the Bills. And that question came up for Doug Marrone today, part of his season ticket holder fan forum. Caller wanted to know, as it 3-4, what's this Buffalo defense going to look like this year?
You know, I always get concerned because I'm a straight shooter that, you know, when people ask me, well, what are you going to be offensively? What are you going to run? You know, you're going to have a fullback. You're going to have three receivers. I mean, we're going to have... we're going to truly be multiple. I mean, we're truly going to have all of that, you know, and we're going to put our best players on the field that give us the best opportunity to win. Defensively, I believe in the same thing. I think that if you're going to go out and you're going to line up and be very vanilla, then you better have, you know, your players better be a lot better than the players you're playing against, and that's not the case in this league for the most part. So, you know, will we line up in a 3-4 spacing? Yes. Will we line up in an under defense? Yes. Will we line up with an over defense? So we're going to line up in multiple defenses to put pressure that we hope from a defensive standpoint dictates and limits the offense to what they can do, because they have to convert everything to that. And yes, I do believe you can disguise better at a certain defenses. And also on offense, we want to go with a high tempo, you know, multiple formations, you know, so we can, again, limit the adjustments of what people have to make on defense. So to answer your question, we want to be that team. We don't want to be the team that people do that against.
Very interesting. I think it's a lot, really, to get done. And I look forward to seeing how they do get this done. If they want to be as multiple and versatile on defense and offense as they say they are, they got a lot of work to do. And, you know, they're doing it now. I mean, they're here. Players are here in the classroom, on the field. They're going through workouts now. The OTAs start next week for the veterans. But that's a lot to do, a lot to get in, you know, the next 4 months for this coaching staff and the players who are here. And the one other thing that I took out of that answer from Doug Marrone earlier today, when he said, if you're going to be vanilla, line up with four down linemen and be vanilla and not do anything on defense, you better be considerably better than the other guys. And in Marrone's words, that's not the case in this league. That's kind of what happened last year to the Buffalo defense. They didn't do a whole lot. They didn't disguise what they were doing. They thought, wrongly as it turned out, that if they lined up with that front four and played pass defense with that front four and didn't blitz very often, that would get the job done. It did not. And to my mind, that was the greatest failing of last season for the Buffalo Bills. One more note about the defense. We are, 9 days away from the trade when the Bills sent the linebacker Calvin Shepard to the Indianapolis Colts and got linebacker, outside linebacker, pass rush specialist Jerry Hughes in return from Indy. Hughes, a former first-round pick of the Colts a couple of years ago. That came up in the conference call today. Doug Marrone, asked by a season ticket holder on the fan forum about the Jerry Hughes trade in exchange for Calvin Shepard and how that trade came about and what the Bills got out of it.
We looked at it as an opportunity to, again, trade a player and put them really both in good situations. I think Calvin Shepard has a great situation for himself down there in Indianapolis, playing linebacker for them. And I think, you know, Hughes has a good situation here, being a rusher and being multiple, being able to move him around. our scouts, we liked him coming out of college. The scouts that were here that evaluate him, our defensive coaches liked him coming out of college. And we think that we can get more flexibility out of him in what we're doing defensively than he might have had before. So we think that the decision to make that trade was good for both parties, both teams, as well as both players.
Kind of what the Bills said when they made the deal. Buddy Nick said it on our show last week when they made the deal. Just a better fit for Calvin Shepard and the Colts and Jerry Hughes with the Buffalo Bills. You know, we've got a few more comments from Doug Marrone coming up after the break coming up here. And these are important ones. I want you to stick around for this if you can, because he really got worked up when he started talking about this team, changing the culture around this Buffalo Bills team, changing the culture around the franchise, how he can engage the players and get the fans on their side. I want you to hear when we come back what Marrone said about that, how to bring the winning culture back to the Buffalo Bills, and how does he get the players to buy in. Really, really interesting stuff. He got kind of fired up. We'll do that when we return. We got a few minutes left here. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Couple minutes left on the show. We want you to hear from Doug Marrone in a minute, but first, quickly, a call from Jack in a Cell. Jack, good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing today? Okay. Just want to know, who do you actually think is going to win the competition between the three quarterbacks?
Boy, I don't know. I guess I'm hoping that it's Manuel, just for the long-term future of the franchise, because I do think he is the long-term solution to the quarterback thing. But who do you think it's going to be, Jack?
Cobb seems pretty good. He played good in Arizona up until they couldn't block for him.
Yeah. Yeah, Kevin Cobb has something to offer, no question about that. Some people, I don't know if I'm there yet, but some people think Cobb is an upgrade over Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think that remains to be seen. But certainly E.J. Manuel, with the expenditure of the first-round draft pick, is the future of the franchise, and I think I would look to him as the guy that, you know, if you're rooting for somebody to have a great camp and compete and win the job at training camp, he would be the guy. We've been talking all night about the conference call that Doug Marrone did today, the head coach of the Bills, on a season ticket holder fan forum, and we've been playing excerpts of it. And I wanted to kind of end the show with the way Coach Marrone ended his hour-long stint in the fan forum. He got some good questions throughout the hour, but towards the end there were a couple of questions about bringing winning culture back to the Buffalo Bills. We all know 13 years without a playoff spot. It's been a long ordeal for Bills fans, and many of the season ticket holders we had on the show, or we had on the conference call today, have been longtime season ticket holders, 13 years plus. A question came today on the conference call on the fan forum from a season ticket holder, Anthony, who asked point blank, Coach Marrone, how do you bring a winning culture back to the Buffalo Bills?
We're creating the structure and foundation of the work ethic around the building, you know, for our players. But I'm gonna be more specific for you, okay? You know, in the studies that I've done over the last, I think, you know, 13 years, okay, let's say, you know, if you just talk about turnovers, okay, Anthony, if we just say, let's just talk about turnovers. When we've been plus one in the turnover ratio, we've won 80% of our games. But when we're zero or minus, it's awful. So if you were to say to me, Coach, what's the one thing you can do right now to help us win games, I'd say win the turnover battle. Because I think all of us right now would raise our hands and say, shoot, we'll take 80% winning with a plus one turnover. And that's the one thing that we work on. Now, it works on both sides. I mean, we have to make sure that we secure the ball on offense and our special teams that play that way. And then on defense, we have to take that ball away. And that's what, you know, one of the things that we're working on. And obviously, that's a big, big stat for us that we've already talked to the players about and we've already been working on.
You know, one of the things notable about Marrone's first 4 months here in the building, and it is just around 4 months now, is the fact that he essentially, as far as media appearances, was underground after he got the job for several weeks. I mean, we talked to him a little bit at the Senior Bowl, a little bit, a month later at the Combine, the end of February. But he didn't do a lot of media appearances, didn't do a lot of interviews, didn't do a lot of public talking. A lot of it, I think, went into what he said right at the top of that soundbite, creating the structure and foundation of changing the culture here, putting together a plan to change the culture here at One Bills Drive. And just beginning 5 weeks ago, when the veterans returned, they got their first chance to implement that structure and foundation. And now, you know, there's a long way to go, 4 months to go before the season opener against the Patriots, but four more months in which to put in that structure and foundation. A very good call today came in on the fan forum for Coach Marrone from a listener, a season ticket holder, who had a pretty simple question. You know, you have these plans for changing the culture. You have these plans for limiting turnovers and getting takeaways, multiple offense, a variety of defensive looks. But how do you get the players to buy in to your program? That was the question for Coach Marrone. How do you get these Bills players to buy in, and how do you motivate them going forward?
We're working together. I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, I meet with players daily, talk to them daily, you know, making sure, hey, we're in this thing together. You know, we're here. We're here for a reason. You know, you walk around our building, it's great tradition. You look at the great players on what's going to be our focus? What's going to be our tradition? What are we going to leave behind? You know, and I go back to the high calling, and I don't mean to be repetitive, but you know, if you're playing for yourself and if you're playing for the money, you're really playing for the wrong reasons. You know, we're fortunate to play a game that when we were kids, and here's what's interesting. Okay. When we were all kids and we played this game, we didn't have coaches. We didn't have any coaches telling us what to do, but we went out there, we played as hard as we could. We were sweating, we were playing, and no one was going to say work hard or run. We did it all on our own. Why does it change? Why does it change? It shouldn't. You know, we're fortunate. Less than 1% of the people get to do this in the world, okay? We should go out there and play, all right? We're playing for a championship. We're playing for a trophy. We're playing for a higher calling. We're playing for, you know, an organization that shouldn't be going through this. People in this area should not be going through this. We got to change that. We have the ability to affect a region by putting a productive winning football team out there. And that's our higher calling. And if you're not buying into that, then you don't need to be here. You can go play for some other team. But we don't want those type of players on our football team.
You heard him get kind of worked up at the end, too. I think it was that answer, especially the end of that answer, was sort of an interesting look inside the way Marrone is going to motivate this team to talk about the, quote, higher calling that he believes this team has to respond to the 13 years of non-playoff appearances and to get this team pointed in the right direction. I think it was very interesting to hear Marrone not just talk about it, but talk about it in passionate terms about, you know, the higher calling and the fact that if you're not on board, then go somewhere else and play. Going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. Well, the rookies arrive here tomorrow evening, and they have meetings tomorrow. And then the rookies, the drafted players and the undrafted free agents, hit the field on Friday afternoon for an afternoon workout. They'll be here Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The veterans, their off-season conditioning continues. And then next Monday through next Wednesday, it's organized team activity, which will look a little bit more, we believe, like the voluntary veteran minicamp back in mid-April. So the pace of activity is going to pick up here over the next few days, and we look forward to that. Tomorrow night, Mark Kelso will join us, my broadcast partner on the Bills Radio Network, talk about the Heads Up Football initiative that he's involved with here in Buffalo. Make sure you tune in for that. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer tonight, Matthew Collar. Our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, Bills Director of Broadcasting, is Jeff Matthews. Back on the air tomorrow night at 7, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.